All right, guys, welcome to the Football Frenzy broadcast right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are Femi and the gang, and we certainly want something like this. It's a fine start to a lovely, lovely Sunday afternoon in the city of Lagos. And from wherever you're listening from, like I love to say, this is when we get activated for all of the football conversation this Sunday, and it promises to be quite the ride. We are Femi and the gang, and we certainly, like I always love to say, are the best team in the land. You can take that to the bank and you will surely cash that in. Time to talk football right here on the auspices of the nation's first news talk and sports station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. I am Samuel Victor Akpan, representing the gang. Earlier, you heard from Emmanuel Etim, and before that, you heard from Chidebere Anugolo on the Rumble, the hardest working man in sportainment, who owes me a bag, by the way, there to kick things off for you. And of course, Emmanuel Etim and Adeze Michael on Inside the NPFL. Huh. What happened to my... These things do happen inside the NPFL. That's what it's called. And this is time for Football Frenzy to go all things football. I am Samuel, like I told you, and Adeze, as always on a Sunday, is here with me. Adeze, good afternoon to you. Great to see you yet again. I don't think I've seen you all through this week.
Yeah, sometimes it's like that. Sam, my main man, but...
Do I know you?
I
don't know you.
We're all remote now. Everyone is just minding their business. Let me tell Lagos that you banished me. You said I should not come near you again. Let me tell everyone to know that he's not my friend anymore. But then we're here to do the job. He wanted me to stay away from him. So I'm just, you know,
minding... Is that really the story? Is that really the story?
I'm staying on my own. I don't want no trouble.
Since you're divulging information, you want to tell Lagos why that...
I don't want to talk about
that. So why would you cut it one way and not paint the full picture?
But then, I'm just in my space and in my lane. Minding my business.
But you know I love you nonetheless.
What did you say? Confession time.
But we're talking about Euro 2020 for starters. Adeze, now that the tournament is over, which moment will you remember Euro 2024? I think it was myself and you, or you and... How does that English go anyway? You know what I'm talking about. On a broadcast a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke about Euro 2016, that the one thing I always remember Euro 2016 for is Antoine Griezmann's dance. Every time I see that dance, it just takes me back to Euro 2016. You know, every time he scored a goal, he will always do that. But looking at Euro 2020, I know it's still fresh in the memories, but years to come, what's that one moment that will always remind you of Euro 2020?
I thought there were really a lot of issues, talking points, positives and negatives. When it comes to human angle, when it comes to emotions, you have to point out the issue of Eriksen. But in the cheeky and controversial part of it, really, I had to think again. It has to be the Ronaldo stunt with the fizzy drink company. I'm not going to mention their name. I won't give them promo. The fizzy drink company. We had situations where players came to the press conference and began to show us where their loyalty lie, what they like and what they do not like. Paul Pogba came and, you know, was swapping tables of bottle of alcohol drinks in front of him and promoting water as well. And other players are coming to say, hey, sign me up. I'm interested. I'm going to promote. So I think those kind of cheeky moments. Ronaldo, you know, championing that one. He likes everyone to drink water. I think it has to be the memory. And then the goals. We talked about the goals. We talked about the tourism. You know, got to see fans travel from one side to the other. I think that has to be for me, Sam.
Euro 2020 moment indeed. But guys, remember, you can join the conversation. It's a very, very, you know, extensive analysis we're going to be having on the broadcast today. 0700-993-993-993 is the number to dial. We're also live on Facebook. Do well to go to Facebook on Nigeria Info's Facebook page. Yeah.
Too much grammar.
Facebook page, and drop your comments as to the many conversations we're going to be having. We're talking about transfers. We're talking about football news. We're talking about Euro 2020, relieving the memories out there as well. And also all this many things we're going to be talking about. You can also send us messages on WhatsApp, 0809597585. 0809597585. That's our WhatsApp number to drop your comments. And now for our ladies, you can call 01465719001 465-71-90 to get through to us in the studio to talk about all of the various things we're going to be talking about indeed. But just bring into your memory, in case you don't don't know what's happened. This was actually a very, very important moment when it comes to Euro 2020. England getting a goal, and that goal was scored by their captain Harry Kane, and Emmanuel Etim couldn't have described it any better.
A second time for England. It's Jack Grealish in the penalty box. A cheeky one! Harry Kane! He's broken the drought! The England captain could have scored a goal that sends them into the quarterfinal stage! He's waiting for this moment all day long, all month long, all year long! And he's gotten his goal at Wembley! 40,000 fans! Behold the genius that is Harry Kane! This could be the nail that condemns Germany's quest for another European title. 86 minutes. It's time for a comeback. England 2, Germany 0.
Now, we are the people you've been waiting for. I'm starting to miss this tune already. I remember during the 1 month always coming and banging my head to this song. It was quite a wonderful piece done there by Harry Styles and, of course, Martin Garrix, who co-produced the song We Are The People theme song for Euro 2020 come 2021. Indeed, Adeze, let's talk about the team of the tournament for Euro 2021. That list was released on Tuesday last week, and we saw reactions to the 11-man team as put out there by the technical observers team by UEFA following the tournament. A team of 11 players were selected, and actually some of those technical members also included David Moyes, the West Ham United manager, and of course the former England manager Fabio Capello. And this is what they picked out for a team of 11. The goalkeeper, like you all know, is Gianluigi Donnarumma, who won the player of the tournament. Defenders are Kyle Walker, Leonardo Bonucci, Harry Maguire, and Leonardo Spinazzola. So the two finalists, dominated the defense, two defenders each for both sides. Midfielders, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg for Denmark, who made the quarterfinals, or the semifinals, sorry. Jorginho for Italy, and of course, Pedri of Spain. Also in their forwards are Federico Chiesa, Romelu Lukaku, and Raheem Sterling. Adeze, when you look at this team of 11, is this the best set of players that we saw at Euro 2020? Or do you think, I personally have my reservations. I think there are one or two players that should have been on this list that didn't make it. But for you, Adeze, is this the best 11 we saw at Euro 2020?
Yes, I have no issues whatsoever with that list. I don't have issues with it. It's almost, maybe one or two additions, but there's no perfect list anywhere. Even in the national duties where coach will have to bring out their best legs, you will always spot something. You will always spot a blot in the selection. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone is a coach. Football is so popular out there in the world that everyone's got another angle to whatever it is you're bringing to the front burner. But there are rules, there are requirements, there are
criteria.
I think that is the word. Thank you very much.
You owe me lunch.
Yeah, my head is full actually. There are criteria that they may not make public. The likes of David Moyes was right there in the selection. He was part of the team that compiled the list. They were saddled with that responsibility of, they must have checked the impact of the players. They must have checked the influence. They must have checked their personal and individual contribution and performance to the team for them to come off. Raheem Sterling, let me start with the front line. Raheem Sterling needs no introduction. He was a workaholic in that team. He was just everywhere. After a disappointing season at Manchester City, hey, listen guys, I'm not finished yet. I'm here to show the world that once again, I'm that kind of player that you can rely on. Harry Kane was sleeping on a bicycle in the first two games. Raheem Sterling was carrying the team, scoring the goals, making a difference. Man of the match performances he exhibited in the tournament. And by the time Harry Kane came back alive, they formed this telepathic combination. There was synergy in their play. There was that, understanding, chemistry, if you may. And it combined to give them that solid performance against Ukraine. He has to be there. And then in the striking role, Harry Kane is there in the striking role. You can understand why. When he comes back out of life, he does it in a very, very scintillating way. He does it in an intimidating fashion. He breaks the deadlock. Then the harvest of goals come pouring in for this man and again another layer to his game. We have to give credit to Mourinho, you know. Yeah, Mourinho is also his own Achilles heel, but everywhere he goes, he's impacted in the lives of players that believe in him. He's impacted in the lives of players that understand him. He's impacted in the lives of players that want to be impacted. Harry Kane, we used to know, had zero assists. Harry Kane, we used to know, was just that goal poacher right in the box. He was just that fox in the box. But Harry Kane these days has grown. Harry Kane's game has evolved. Harry Kane is also a playmaker. Harry Kane is as well a goal scorer. So that benefited it, you know, the three lines of England. Criticisms came early on when he was trying to, you know, help out his team pass the ball in the middle of the park, when he was trying to help them gain a lot more control, when he was trying to give them attacking options apart from what goes on in and around the box. They were criticizing him that he should get in the box, that is not his role. But then he paid off, because that way he's found a way to pick up spaces, that way he found a way to interpret spaces and of course set up his teammates. He was just instrumental. And who again do we have in that right wing?
Chiesa.
Oh my goodness, everyone's bright. Yesterday we were on the show with Chuma and everyone's saying, hey, Arsenal fans were calling, bring us Federico Chiesa. Manchester United fans were calling, hey, we want Federico Chiesa at Old Trafford. Chelsea fans were calling, hey, Marina, go for the player. It tells you the kind of energy he brings. Of course, it was a player I had an eye on during the time at Juventus. He, alongside Weston McKennie, Federico Chiesa himself, and Bernardeschi.
Yeah, Federico.
Federico Bernardeschi. These were players at Juventus that were coming up the ranks, trying to, you know, build themselves, trying to be the new old ladies. But sometimes they get their game time, sometimes they... So I was also really surprised when you're playing up against, when you're playing for a coach like Mancini, picked up young players, gave them that belief, instilled whatever he has. And Federico Chiesa was just unplayable. Very, very hungry player, deadly. You know, a player going forward, you cannot really mark him. He's got his ideas. He knows where to, how to arrive in the box anytime he wants to. He knows the angle to place these balls. And of course, we talked about the other one, the man that cooks
Romelu.
The food. Not Lukaku now, the man that Spinazzola that got
injured.
Oh, okay,
the Italian team. Yeah.
They really had a fantastic tournament with Italy in the forward line. So, I mean, the guys in up front really earned their rest. A lot of persons may say Lukaku, but then I thought these guys looked at the teams have gone far. There's a reason why you've gone farther than semi-final in the tourney, and they picked the boys that made it count. So,
but now that we're on the subject of the forwards, that is very quickly, how do you make a list of forward strikers and not put either the first or the second top scorer of the competition? There's no Ronaldo. There's no Patrick Schick.
That's what I'm saying, that their team's inability to get to the later stages is what has cost them. Yeah, they scored goals, but if you look at the goals...
Now, Romelu got to the quarterfinals with Belgium. And that's the same stage that Ronaldo stopped
at. Yeah, the criteria is not enough. Because if probably we had a Romelu Lukaku playing at Wembley in the final, he's going to make that team. But you cannot take away the influence of these guys, Federico, Sterling, and Harry Kane. They are the reason... Harry Kane was unplayable in that game against Ukraine. I was live here with Overdose. I covered the game. He was just very phenomenal. You know, his performance was just top-notch. So you can understand why he made it. So in the middle of the park, he's setting Jorginho Frelofiho, the Brazilian, plays for Italy these days. But then, he has made some of us to eat our words. I was not a huge fan of Jorginho, owing to the fact that he was a teacher's pet in Mauricio Sarri. When he was at Chelsea, you know, a lot of people out there didn't like him for that reason, because he... there was a certain, you know, he was not registering assists. The hype around him was too much. Chelsea paid about £50 million to get him on board. These days, statistics define who you are as a player. But I appreciate the fact that people, you know, we're talking about how statistics have made people not to appreciate the real quality, contribution, influence of players we see. Well, I'm happy that this journey has made us to think, drift away a little bit. Well, I'm beginning to appreciate people's natural ability. Jorginho didn't register assists, and at Chelsea was judged by that. People went on social media, they were like, what about midfielder that doesn't even register assists? What about midfielder that doesn't score goals? But I had to go back to YouTube in that first season he was with Sarri. I realized that who was his striker at that time? Was it Morata?
Morata.
Yes. I realized that he was whipping in those crosses. I saw that video, but Morata would have missed the opportunities. He could have gotten assists. What I'm trying to say, that he could have gotten assists, but Morata didn't quite finish some of his efforts. He was whipping in those long balls. He was trying to be the playmaker. He was trying to dictate play. But unfortunately for him, we didn't get to see him register the assist. The assist didn't happen. So, but in the tourney, Jorginho just became everything. Just, he didn't even look like someone that played Champions League football. Came into this Italian side, became that, you know, a conductor, became even a disruptor as well. In the game against Italy, he left his conducting role and became a disruptor. Since you people don't want me to play the ball, let me become a tough tackler. 1-7 interceptions there for the Italians and covered every ground here alongside Verratti. So maybe the tourney has made us to appreciate him more. And people are talking about Ballon d'Or without goals and assists. I think I like
is
the
he,
fact...
Is he in that breath for that
well,
conversation?
Well, a lot of persons are giving him that, but I thought he was instrumental. Maybe he's beginning to make me to really, really appreciate him. He alongside Pedri, they somehow play the same role. They don't get involved in the box. They're not your box-to-box all-action midfielders, but then their pass will send the cross that will get into the box for the strikers. What I'm saying is that they take play, they create goals, but not necessarily being the last bus stop to, you know, to score the goal. So we're beginning to appreciate players and what they bring. I think I like it. Jorginho certainly merits it. Who is another person in that?
The midfielders, Højbjerg, Jorginho and Pedri.
I don't know how, yes, Højbjerg is my, exactly. I don't know how Højbjerg, the Tottenham man, I don't know how he got there, but the people that selected him know the reason why he got there, but I'm not a huge fan.
Well, you would think he's, who comes across as the DM in this now? Pierre, Jorginho, Pedri is obviously the offensive player.
Pedri is...
But Emil Højbjerg and Jorginho.
Emil Højbjerg. I don't know how he got there. Probably, you know, Denmark.
Fairy tale run.
Yes, maybe that's how he got there. But we had better bulldozers in the middle of the pack. We had a certain. Who was the bulldozer for Italy? No, their 4-3-3 didn't necessarily allow us to see.
To see that,
bulldozers.
Yes.
Is it Locatelli now?
Didn't necessarily play all the games.
Because they played on 4-3-3 formation, so we didn't see the effectiveness of their bulldozer. Yes, now that reminds me, I thought we'd have seen Calvin Phillips or Declan Rice. They were the real bulldozers. They were the real shield.
They never kicked the ball.
They were the real. Who?
You said, oh, Calvin Phillips. I thought you were talking Calvin Lewin.
No, I mean Calvin Phillips, the Leeds United defensive midfielder, yeah. And Declan Rice of West Ham. They are the ones that did the bulldozing job to letter T. They protected their defense. How many goals did they ship in the whole of the tournament?
Just one.
They deserve
two goals.
They deserve that spot. Either of them, Declan Rice, I saw the.
So who would you take out? Højbjerg or Jorginho for Phillips?
It's Højbjerg.
Okay,
it's
Højbjerg.
Yeah. Then the defense line, I don't even want to say anything about it.
Too English, too.
Perfect defense line.
Look at Kyle Walker, Bonucci, Maguire, Spinazzola. I mean, Bonucci or Chiellini, who should have made the list? If I have to take one of the two Italians. I mean, because I think personally, I would just rather put the two of them in there. But
Before the game last week, Sunday, when we were previewing, I talked about their dark arts. And that was, Bukayo Saka could have caused problem. He was just the only one that would have made that stunning run down the channel to hurt the goalkeeper, because all of them were cut out completely. They were dragged out of their shape. But look at what he did. Just picked the young man, dropped him on the floor, because, yes, let me pick a yellow card, but then it was worth dropping.
And they that thing has become a meme everywhere.
Everywhere. They pull you, they pinch you. In fact, if any other drama was... Maybe Harry Kane was lucky that he didn't show himself a lot more, because he would have probably slapped him. That is the kind of people they are. Two of them deserve to be there, but it is what it is. Bonucci, remember, scored the goal.
Yeah.
Scored the equalizer.
Maybe that was what just pushed in my head.
Chiellini has just been everywhere, defying age, defying nature in terms of how his body carries him. There was almost no loophole to his performance in the tourney. So I think those two guys are something else. I don't know.
All right. And for me, the biggest worry of them all, the goalkeeper, Gianluigi Donnarumma, as the goalkeeper of this one, the player of the tournament. I don't understand why. I think a certain Jordan Pickford should have been taking this one. Yeah, for me, it should have been Jordan Pickford. Jordan was only beaten twice. If not for the penalty saves by Donnarumma, I don't think he would be there as the player of the tournament. I still think he isn't the player of the tournament.
The goalkeeping throne is quite open now. We've seen the big heads gradually leaving the dancing hall to allow the younger ones to take up the mantle. Buffon is 43 these days. He's gone to Parma, where he'll be strutting his stuff. He's no longer in the limelight. And then Manuel Neuer is also gradually leaving the dancing hall for the likes of... So Donnarumma has come to stay. And racking up the experience he has at the age of 22, 251 appearances for AC Milan, taking all of the experience down to Paris now. And look at his performance overall. His calmness is something everyone should learn. I think I'm even trying to look at the way he conducted himself. Pickford is the opposite of Donnarumma. Pickford is very, very springy. Pickford is just that kind of the goalkeeper that could even put himself in trouble with some rash decisions, rush of blood from time to time. He even had to go consult a shrink recently that has helped calm him a little bit. As a goalkeeper, one of your characteristics has to be that calmness, first of all. I miss chaos, because there will always be chaos. There will always be aerial bombardments. There will always be arriving late in the box. Strikers will always want to have a go at you as a goalkeeper. But if they know you're easily pricked, then it becomes, you know, a minus. At some point, we saw last season at Everton, Ancelotti had to bench him for someone else in the last couple of games towards that season to see if he can become a new, better person. Well, we saw him. He was protected by his defence, so he was not really exposed. He was not really tested because of the compactness of the three lines of
England. Every time he was called in to make a save, I mean, that final, he made three stunning saves.
Of course, I'm not going to... He's a good goalkeeper, and there's a reason why Southgate goes for him, despite the fact there's a certain Sam
Johnstone, yeah.
And the other goalkeeper now, Dean Henderson. Dean Henderson didn't even get a minute. He's a good goalkeeper, but there's a reason
Henderson actually pulled out because of injury.
There's another one that came.
Yeah, Aaron Ramsdale.
There's a reason why he's always the number one, even in the 2018 World Cup. He's a good goalkeeper. I talked about if he can curtail some of his excesses and the way he reacts to issues, very, very, you know, touchy. Talking about Jordan Pickford, they'll be fine. But Donnarumma has come to stay. Keeping your team out against Spain, keeping them, I mean, he got them to the final.
Mm-hmm.
And he got them the trophy. The first goalkeeper to win it since 1992. So, I mean, we need to watch out for him. We had that argument, a big debate with the Overdose and Chuma on Thursday about Kilo Navas. He's the man of the moment. You know, when the momentum is with you, he can't really be dropped. Well, PSG have signed themselves a goal. And Pochettino, the board would have called him to say, hey, we bought, yeah, he's a goalkeeper that came on a free transfer. But at the end of the day, he's a prized asset and we must use him. So I did not necessarily see Kilo Navas, you know, benching him. So I think he's a good goalkeeper. The award, he deserves it. Player of the tournament. It's not easy to keep penalties. He's got the height, intimidating presence. Covers the goalpost quite well. Quite an intelligent, you know, goalkeeper. I remember when he was much younger, his mom had to carry his ID card everywhere because people said he was too big and too old to play football. But he's defied all of those critics. And look at him now making it in the top, you know, goalkeeper. Keeping one of the top best goalkeepers we have right now at the moment. So I think it's a good one for that man. But I do not necessarily think the PSG is going to bring him to the limelight. Like, you know how it is. PSG, they don't really, yeah, they have the money. They're trying to get all the world's attention towards their direction. But I don't know if he will. Is Mino Raiola. I mean, this is what it is. PSG were willing to pay the 200k, right? So Raiola is just, they're pulling his clients everywhere. Everywhere, if Raiola say come and go to Akwanga, you will stand up
and follow and go.
So I mean,
no objections.
Probably he would have waited for his time at Real Madrid. Maybe he wanted to see Donnarumma at Barcelona, although they have a certain what's his name, the goalkeeper at Barca these days.
Ter Stegen
is there somewhere in the mix. Would have wanted to see him in clubs that could, you know, bring him up there, bring him to limelight proper. But since he's gone to PSG, who are we to, you know, question the decision?
This is a very, very interesting conversation we're having. We're talking about Euro 2020. The tournament ended 7 days ago, and we're looking at the moments that characterized or made up that tournament for us. And we've just talked about the team of the tournament. Do you have any objections as to that one? I have quite a few. For Adeze Michael, just take out Pierre-Emile Højbjerg and bring in Calvin Phillips or Declan Rice, and that team is as good to go. But let me run you through that list again. Gianluigi Donnarumma is the goalkeeper. Kyle Walker, Leonardo Bonucci, Harry Maguire, and Leonardo Spinazzola are the defenders. Pierre-Emile Højbjerg alongside Jorginho and Pedri are the midfielders. And up front, they've got Federico Chiesa, Romelu Lukaku, and Raheem Sterling. No place for Cristiano Ronaldo or Patrick Schick in there. No place for Harry Kane in there. And no place for the other players as well. 0700-993-993-993. Time to hear from you and get your thoughts as to the team of the tournament. We'll take about 5 calls and then we'll talk about penalty misses. Which penalty miss did pretty much shocked you as to the penalty taker and the way they took the penalty. Indeed, turn down the volume of your radio set when you call in so we can have a very, very good conversation. For our ladies, you can dial 01465-7190. 01465-7190. Good afternoon. All right, sorry about that. Do well to call back. 0700-993-993-993. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
This is Femi from Bejuleti.
Welcome, Femi.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My own penalty, I will take on the latter one.
No, let's talk about the team of the tournament first. We're talking about that.
The team of the tournament.
Yeah, who would you take out or who would you bring or are you satisfied?
Team of the tournament, I will take Italy because they're really trying to defend their defense line.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Not in tune with the conversation, but we're talking about the entire 11 when it comes to the team of the tournament. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Samuel.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Good afternoon,
Adizim. Welcome.
Lamidoski from Surulere.
Lamidoski, welcome.
For me, I would like to see you look sure at the left back.
Wow, okay. Sure to replace Spinazzola.
Spinazzola tried, but he did not play like 2 to 3 match.
Yeah.
Because of the injury. So I would like to see Adizim look sure is there. But okay. It's not bad. Since Kiesa is there, I'm telling.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling, Lamidoski. Good afternoon.
Hello. Good afternoon, Samuel.
Good afternoon, Friday.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Adizim.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. For me, I would like to. I don't know who I will bring out for Kelini. I believe maybe Maguire is right. I can pull it out for Kelini. For me personally, the lineup is good. But I believe they could have given a Pickford an award, even though this is the most surprise goalkeeper, because nobody believes in this guy.
Yeah.
We always see him as a shaky goalkeeper. For him to have done so well, let them find an award for him, the most surprise goalkeeper or the most improved goalkeeper, so that now we encourage him now.
Do you think he should have been the goalkeeper of the tournament? Well, he actually was.
He can't be the goalkeeper of the tournament.
He had most clean sheets.
Yes, the clean sheet, because the defender were up and doing. Mm. The clean sheet because the defender were good. But for me, I never even believe that he can even make the English and the score. But for him to have made the score and be the second best goalkeeper, for me, let them just find an award for him.
All right.
This young man.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling in Friday. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
My name is Yusuf.
Welcome, Yusuf.
I really think Luke Shaw should have been on the team.
Okay, Luke Shaw to replace Spinazzola.
Yes, yes.
All right.
And Ronaldo should have been in the team and Patrick Schick.
Ronaldo and Schick. So who would you take out for Ronaldo and Schick?
I'll take out Sterling and Chiesa.
Okay, all right. Sterling and Chiesa. So you have Ronaldo and Lukaku.
Patrick Schick.
Ronaldo and Patrick Schick. All right, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's a threatening front three anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Schick was in excellent form for Czech Republic.
Yeah, he was.
And Ronaldo scored a lot of goals in just a few short games.
Yeah, he scored the most goals in the less amount of games.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, then. Okay. Thank you very much for calling in. Indeed, I will get back to the phone lines very, very quickly. But Daisy, let's sneak in the conversation of penalties. Now, we saw so many penalty misses out there at Euro 2020, and some were quite significant. I mean, last week we were talking about the fact that certain players missed penalties and were in line for racist abuse, something we absolutely don't agree to out there. But there were so many that were quite significant. We saw Morata miss the crucial penalty that knocked Spain out. We saw Jorginho missed in the finals that almost knocked Italy out or made England the champions. We saw who else missed the penalty? We saw Mbappe miss for France against Switzerland and sure the Swiss made it to the quarterfinals as well. Who else was there again? Of all the penalty misses at Daisy, Michael, which one actually shocked you the most?
It's Morata's.
Okay, Morata for Spain against Switzerland.
It was so painful. Italy, no, not...
Oh, against Italy, sorry.
Against Italy in the semi-final. The buzz around it, really. The buzz around it. You remember that game? It was wrapped in a cotton wool. Let me put it that way, that it was wrapped in a cotton wool. he could have been tactical. I remember Dani Olmo, Mikel Oyarzabal, and Ferran Torres made the starting bet that day. So I felt he was intentional that he was kept on the bench to be unleashed, you know, bringing in the fresh leg, bringing in a new idea to the team, probably when it gets tough. I think that was a tactical decision from Enrique that worked a treat. I thought Italy were outplayed on the day was so obvious. So now you came off the bench as a striker, a points man of the tourney. You know, the Spaniards, the nation as a whole, they looked up to you for magic. It's not easy to wear that number 9 jersey because legends have worn that jersey in the past. But your coach so much believed in you, kept you on the bench. Then he sensed that there was going to be an extra time. Of course, it was always going to be a tough game. And then you came off the bench. And then you took a weak penalty. It was a penalty of impulse, not well executed. His legs was easily read by Donnarumma, who is a smart goalkeeper. He came off, is he left or right foot now? I can't really remember. Maybe we should go check that penalty out again. Well, it was just painful. All of his teammates had done their bit. If he had scored that penalty, maybe he wouldn't have been Italy in the final. It was so painful. He had a mixed, tournament. He had a touch-and-go tournament, talking about Morata. Missed goals when the criticism came so hot and hard on him. He had turned
for his team. It was actually Spain's top scorer.
Yeah, he was Spain's top scorer. Could have gone more. That's what we're saying. Could have gone more. He let them down when they needed him most. You know, his pedigree has always been under scrutiny. He's not had that kind of career that I love. But despite the fact that he's played for almost all the big clubs in the world. But he's not giving us that, that excitement as a striker. He's not written in his name in gold. He's not etched his name, on top of the echelon of football. So a lot of persons expected a lot of things from him in that penalty especially. But then he fluffed it and that sent his team packing. It was so painful from my own side. Of course, we know how his journey at Chelsea was. And then he sought for a lifeline at Atletico Madrid. And then Diego Simeone felt he's seen enough of him, shipped to Juventus on loan again. So it's just been, all of these clubs he's gone to, you cannot really pick out one moment to say, yes, this is a striker that has really, really, and at the age of 28, you keep fluffing your life.
Not so much time for
not
him.
Not so much time for you anymore. But yeah, he would say he's achieved a lot already, probably winning titles with Juventus when he was there in his first spell. This is his second missionary journey at Juventus. But then, that his penalty was just so heartbreaking. And then I think that Mbappe, oh my goodness.
Let's just relieve that memory when Mbappe missed that penalty against Switzerland. For me, actually, this was the most disappointing penalty at Euro 2020.
Can Mbappe deliver? He's denied by Sommer. He wants reassurance that the save is allowed, and it is. The officials are happy, and Switzerland have done it against all the odds.
Certainly a disappointing kick from Kylian Mbappe, hit it to the goalkeeper's right-hand side and he made it. Is it the height that was more disappointing from Kylian Mbappe? But that's all history now. Kylian Mbappe's penalty missed and that one sent France out of Euro 2020. Adese, let's quickly wrap up on this conversation. If there's one penalty you've ever seen missed that you would, if given the opportunity or if you had the powers, you bring back that penalty to be retaken, which penalty kick would that be?
Ah, Saka. Saka, oh, I really felt for the young guy. Kai, I looked at it from the other angle. I think I scratched it a little bit on Thursday. I still commend Southgate. I don't have anything against Southgate because when he was bringing in the changes that led them to the final, no one criticized. Football is cruel.
Very cruel.
Football is fickle. As a coach, you're scrutinized. In fact, Southgate went south with some of his penalty takers, right? His decisions went south, but then I stand with him 100% because in that first game, Kieran Trippier, who is a right back, deputized for the likes of Luke Shaw and Ben Chilwell, he worked a treat. Against the German, I think their first game against Croatia, he was comfortable. That was the coach's brilliant idea. And then the second game, we saw him match the Germans man for man, quality for quality, personnel for personnel, tactics for tactics, and got that 2-0 win. No one criticized him. His game plan worked perfectly. Jack Grealish came off the bench as usual, you know, to do the damage. Gave Saka threw him into the deep end in that cold water, and the young man took the responsibility. He was so brave. Gave good account of himself, showed the world why he's the next big thing for Arsenal. And then down to the Ukraine game, all of his tactics have been spot on. The way he molded the team, the three lines of England down to the final, it's not easy. Swatting aside the likes of Ukraine and then beating Denmark, showing resilience, showing togetherness and everything. And then the penalty, let me explain it better. It's the idea of the coach. Okay, Rashford, you've not been a regular. Jadon Sancho, you've not been a regular. These are big names in their clubs. I mean, these guys are playing for Man United.
Even for the national team.
For the fact that they did not make the starting bet does not take any quality away from them. But it's due to form now, because Rashford, you know, has been having this niggling shoulder injury. In fact, he should be on the treatment table by now. If he's not had that surgery, that's a story for another day. He's had a very quiet outing at Man United. Okay, the coach said you need to be coming in as a bit part player. And then Jadon Sancho, at that right position, Saka was more lively. Doesn't take away that Sancho is not a good player. Saka was more brave. Saka was going to demand of the ball. Saka was more, you know, everywhere. But Sancho is still that. People will see him next season. He will torment defenders of the English Premier League. He now said, okay, Rashford, you take the penalty, right? Let it be your contribution to the team. I mean, it's something. Part of, as a coach, you must keep everyone happy.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I must commend him for that. It is not his fault that Rashford fluffed his lines. Jadon Sancho, okay, you just had one start against Ukraine. This is your time to write your name in gold in the history of English football. And then Saka, as a young kid, no pressure, no missed penalty in the past. He's not had any history of baggage, of maybe missing penalty. You're a young kid. I trust you so much. Go there and score the penalty. But unfortunately, the tension is too... People need to understand. Oh, my goodness.
Now, is that not where the manager's, nas or foresight comes into play and say, okay, yes, you want to. I could credit the effort or the willingness, but this is a... No chance for second chances.
Fine. When you're at the age of... People will easily say 19. Why give him when there are other legs? Beckham have missed penalties in key turnings for English three lines. Ashley Cole, Frank Lampard, Wayne Rooney, all of them have let their teams down at the age of late 20s. I don't have the exact figure, but go do your research if you're listening out there. It's not about age. It's about the tension of the do you know what it is? The heat. You know, it's easy for us to sit down here and watch why enough is coping.
It's just 12 years.
All of them.
It's just 12 years.
Rashford is 23. Jadon Sancho is 21. Yes, that young kids, but in football, age has shown us that if you're brave enough, if you've got enough balls, you can take your team to the next level.
We're talking about memories from Euro 2020 at Daisy. This one, I asked you a question about penalty misses. If you had the pass to, you know, have a penalty retaken and scored this time around, this one will be top of my list.
Terry to win it.
John Terry's penalty miss in 2008.
That was the first and last time I cried because of football or anything that's got to do with Chelsea. But then I think Chelsea have since atoned for their sins.
Yeah, twice.
They've won the Champions League twice now. So I've forgiven Terry. He's always welcomed at Stamford Bridge. But it's something that will... I don't regret where I am at the moment. The tears was not in vain.
Yeah,
but look
it
at where
certainly
we are.
Wasn't.
Back then, I didn't know I'll eventually become, you know, a sports journalist, maybe football pundit or something. But the tears and the passion and everything has led us here. So, John Terry, big shout out to you.
Yeah, shout out to the man.
You're still part of Chelsea.
Very much a captain, leader, and a legend, John Terry. But before we run away from all things Euro 2020, our days, Italy won the Euro 2020. With a relatively very, very advanced squad in terms of age. I mean, Chiellini and Bonucci alone, combined age is about 60-something or so, if not 70 or more. But other players in the team as well were quite advanced in age. And we've seen this year in 2021, we've seen Chelsea win the Champions League with a relatively young squad of an average age of 22. And we've seen Italy do that with something a bit older, youth or experience in football. We've seen this happen time and again with different managers and their philosophies. We know the good old AC Milan team of the early 2000s were big on, you know, experience more. Like, it would see all the likes of Andrei Shevchenko, Nesta, Maldini, you know, Zamrota, Costa Corta. All of these guys were big with Ancelotti winning those titles. And these days we are seeing, thanks to Pep Guardiola, we're seeing a different strategy to winning with age or youth more. Like, so if you were to be a manager at Daisy Michael, youth or experience, which would you rather?
Big question. $1 million question, really. Wow. Well, football keeps evolving. We've seen that these days it's no longer about how many football or how many experience, how many caps and appearances you've racked up for your club. What can you do regardless? I think I like what Tuchel said initially when he came to Chelsea. He was asked about his squad. Does he need to inject fresh legs? You know, these words, we keep using the words fresh legs and all that. He said, I don't even remember their names. I don't even remember their age. All I assess is their performance in training. Do they replicate what I want them to do? Are they consistent enough? Do they do things effortlessly without their body questioning them? I think I like that part. But, and we've also seen situations where a blend of experience and youthfulness has paid off. Bayern Munich squad that won the Champions League last season, it was a perfect blend of everything. In the middle of the pack, they had Thomas Müller. At the back, they had Jerome Boateng. They had Alaba. These guys have racked up experience. And, you know, up front, they have excitement. Serge Gnabry, Alphonso Davies. And then goalkeeping department, they've got experience. So sometimes if you're lucky, if you can find that blend of experience, it can work for you. If you can find that the right formula, the combination, rice and beans, you know, with you, if it works out for you, if it gives you the desired result.
Something just came to mind.
What came to mind? When I said rice and stew.
Yeah.
Rice and beans and stew.
Yeah, yeah.
What
I saw a picture on somebody's WhatsApp yesterday, one of our... Femi and the gang members.
Okay.
Yeah, she put it up and it was so inviting. And I was asking her for some this morning.
Okay.
She was asking me to go and marry.
Ah, yeah. Well, sorry for you. I didn't see. I've not seen. So, so if you can find that combination, we've also seen situations where youngsters have taken the water. I remember that Ajax squad that Tottenham beat a couple of seasons ago. They were young stars, all of them. Matthias De Ligt, Hakim Ziyech was younger then. Dusan Tadic was younger then. Ruben Neves was Van der Beek. I mean, these were young stars that went all the way. Even the Chelsea's current squad we have that won the Champions League, relatively younger players. So football really has shown us that it's about what you... It's about, will you listen to your coach? Because at the end of the day, they are the ones that... they are the ones that bring the ideas game after game. They bring the ideas of how the team will be played, how many runs you would make, how many grounds you will cover, how you drag teams out of position, how you pick your moment of, you know, unleashing dragon, how you come back to defend. So, I mean, if football, youth experience, all of them are important, because at the end of the day, you will need youth to inject the pace and energy to, you know, execute these games and get the kind of results you want. But youth experience, all of them, they're all important, Sam. I really cannot separate anyone. And then if you want to assemble, I remember what's his name, Juventus old ladies, there was when they were known for, even till today, in fact,
that's why they're called the old lady.
The Italian Serie A have shown us that that the retirement home for big names these days, AC Milan, Inter Milan, all of them. Conte was able to win the league with most of his players were approaching 30, early 30. So it's about what you want. It's about the kind of result. I think if you can find a blend in a team, you're lucky. Tuchel somehow is lucky. You've got Aspi, you've got Rudiger in the mix, and Jorginho is approaching 30 as well. These are then younger players. You've got Timo, you've got Kai, you've got exciting Odoi, you've got Mason Mount. So I think if you look at that perfect blend is the best for me. You don't necessarily parade old legs, because Juventus paraded old legs against Porto. They were punished in the last season's Champions League.
Yeah.
The game was stretched, and the Porto stretched the game through the flanks. They stretched it through the middle. They stretched it everywhere. and their fatigue and tired legs were exposed. So I think for me, the best is blend of youthfulness and of course a little bit of experience in it for leadership.
Hello,
good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Bode from Ikeja.
Welcome, Bode Thomas.
Yeah, I just wanted to speak on the opinion that was made at your show concerning England and Southgate not being blamed for England not winning the Euros.
All right.
So my opinion is, if you look at the game from like the beginning of the game when England got that early goal, they sat back, and if you look at the way the Italians played afterwards, they fell into the hands of the Italians. They should have actually come at them, made more attacking changes earlier on in the game, long before the equalizer was scored. And even the extra time as well, there was nothing inventive about the English team. There was no proactiveness from Southgate as well. And then when you look at the penalty shootout itself, the setup was just completely messed up, in my opinion, because of the fact that a regular penalty shootout, what happens is the coaches choose the best penalty takers who have a history of taking penalties at their club side or national team. So if you look at Bukayo Saka taking that penalty, I don't know about his confidence and everything, but it's still the coach's opinion to actually like make that decision to like set up the best possible players for the penalty shootout. So even if you are taking penalties in training, that's a completely different ball game.
But is that not the yardstick you use to select your takers? Oh, he hits them well in training. He's always scoring.
No. Yes, you can do that actually. It's actually a good idea. But at the end of the day, when you have other opinions, is when you have other players that take the advantage over you in the sense of having taken penalties at their club side or regular penalty takers. Because at the end of the day, training session, you can't replicate actual game scenarios. You can't replicate 60,000 fans back.
No, we can. We'll just blast speakers in there. Load crowd noise.
It still work out. So maybe Jack Grealish, Raheem Sterling actually as well. There's loads of other options. Even Harry Kane taking the penalty first to me was... maybe they wanted to get off on the right foot, but in my opinion...
yeah, keep them going. The first one is always very crucial.
Yes, but you should have taken the last. Because at the end of the day, the last penalty, more often than not, is either to win the penalty shootout or to level the penalty shootout.
Yeah, but if you go back to 2008, I think Chelsea were waiting for Drogba to take the last penalty. But happened.
I'm a Chelsea fan. Yeah. I'm a Chelsea fan as well, so I can relate to the pain of that. But at the end of the day, I just feel it's something they can look forward to and... next year's World Cup, they can make better decisions moving forward. Right. I'd like to think Bukayo Saka and the other players will still be around and grow.
Yeah, they certainly will.
England should at least make the semis. I don't think they would win the next World Cup because a lot of other countries will even strengthen more. But they'll probably do well and be okay. But I don't think they'll probably win.
It has gone to Rome. Now it's time to come home.
Yeah, so maybe the next generation, or maybe this generation, they still have a long way to go. They could play the next two competitions. So,
all right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed for calling.
Quickly, Sam, before, I like the fact that he accepted that he's on training. During training, that is when coaches pen down who will take penalty. And whatever, people don't just come to play football. It's what you do in training.
Yeah, that determines.
The game plan, that is what you transcend down to. So it's all mapped out. You know, we easily criticize. We sit down here, we analyze. Saka took penalties in training. I think that was even the reason he gave pressers. Talking about Gary Saka, he said Saka, Jadon Sancho, and Rashford all looked pretty good
during
the training. So that's why he didn't just wake up and say, go, hey, go and shoot.
But when you listen to Jack, who came out a couple of days later and said, that's where you now start criticizing the manager, Gareth Southgate, because expectedly you would think Jack, who does it first on Villa week on week, would score that penalty.
Well, he wasn't included. There's a reason why Saka went for it. There's a reason why Rashford went for it. So we're not in the Three Lions squad to get all details.
Yeah, to never know.
We can only analyze what we see, but after analyzing, please let's give credit to Gareth Southgate.
Right.
He did what no one did for the first time in 1966. The only difference was that they didn't get their hands to the trophy. They didn't lose the game. He also talked about that after they scored the goal, they relaxed. Football is psychological. Sam, if I hit you here now, you're going to retaliate. And I may not even get myself when you were retaliating.
I go woolly you. I hope
when England scored that early goal, it was a huge blow to the Italians.
Yeah.
You didn't expect them to just fold their arms and watch England
take
the
initiative.
They were responded by seizing the ball. They responded by keeping the ball a lot more. They responded by stringing passes together. They found a way to open up the defense. And of course, they got their revenge. So football is like that. If you watch all the games, all this while we've been watching football, any team that is trailing, they have a way of coming back. They have a way of seizing the initiative back and they want to hurt. So it's really natural. When did it was a final, they had the Azuris.
Anybody's
they had the favorites to win the title. So they reacted well. And I have to give credit to Mancini, who kept on ringing the substitutions, pulling him until he got what he wanted. So, I mean, it was a tactical battle that somehow no one won. But penalties in no one's game. So we have to give credit to Three Lions for what they've achieved.
All right, blow our minds. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, good afternoon, Samuel.
Yeah, Friday, welcome back.
Samuel, why must you use that jersey of 2008 as an example?
why
are you, see, we are talking about Euro and national team. You want to make some people not to...
Well, you don't work. Friday, work now. You work. The example work.
He work. That is what I'm saying now. But you should consider those who have not won Champions League now.
I know they also.
Samuel, for me, that Jorginho penalty... That for me is the one that I least expected. You know when Jorginho was about to take that penalty? Emmanuel was even shaking.
He was going to score. Yeah. He was bang on to
because
score.
Of the love he had for the English national team. Everybody know that Jorginho have 99% of scoring penalty.
Yeah.
He's on that pitch in the whole tournament. I can say he's the best penalty taker. So we thought that it was all over for...
And they left that penalty kick, the most important one for him, number five penalty.
Yeah, the most important one for him. So that is why for me, is the most the one I least expected. Talking about a young player and for me, I like what the Italian did. Look at it. He also worked for Chelsea in the Champions League last season. Look at Chelsea back line. They are of age. They are almost 30 or 30 plus. But you look at the front line, they are young players. So when the back line are older, they can easily correct the front line.
Yeah.
They know when the front line makes mistakes, then they can correct it. But when you pack youthfulness in the back, then you pack experience in the front. When the experience makes mistakes in the front, what can the youth, what can the young one do? They say, wait till my papa not feed you,
Nami wonder.
So that is for me. I like the way the Italian play, packing experience in the back. Then the youthfulness in the front. It worked for Italian. It has worked for the Chelsea national team. I think some coaches they should know how to emulate what these two coaches have done.
You know, what you said reminds me of a certain London team. In London, a team in London wears red. They have youth at the back and experience up front.
They are still building. 15 years ago, they said we are building. That building we never see.
House
not complete. Low street, low roof.
They go say that me find trouble now. Thank you, Friday.
Thank you.
And Daisy, we have to go. It's been a very, very enjoyable ride.
Yeah, time flew quickly. I know they say time flies when you're having fun, but it's time to go. We've earned our daily 2K. Of course, you can find me on socials at @Daisy_Michael.
When am I going to see you again?
I don't know. Ask the boy. You want to see me? Some we have issues to settle, but then, but I'm not done dealing with you. By the time I'm done dealing with you, you're going to say,
Mr. Frank, come and carry our advice. Wallow out. All right, it's been an enjoyable ride indeed. My name is Samuel Victor Ackman. Enjoyed every bit of it alongside Daisy Michael.